Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
In our Christmas series, and again, we started a little earlier this year, we've been talking about these gifts that were given, some of these benefits. The psalmist says, "Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he kind of lists them off. And so as we consider Jesus the best gift ever given, as we consider the Son of God come to us, Emmanuel, God incarnate, this gift of the Son of God to us also has a lot of other gifts and blessings that he bestows upon us. So we're going to read together Romans chapter 6, 23. We're all ready to read together since we did our responsive reading. Yes, you guys did it. Everybody ended up on the same page. Way to go. So we're going to read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I don't know how you can read that without not having a smile on your face. And it's kind of like my sister, who's in town. She was a horrible snooper. I think I may have shared this before, but she would always, she got to the point where she would get up early in the mornings and wait till people weren't around, and she'd take her fingernail and she'd open up a Christmas present and see what it was, rewrap it, and put tape back over the top. That's how, Gretchen, you know you did that. And my mom one year got so sick and tired of her ruining these surprises that she, I think she bought her a stereo, but then put it in a bigger box and stenciled the letters "bean bag chair" over them and then wrapped them in tissue paper. And we had party line phones, and I think mom was sneaky enough, the way I heard the story is she listened to her tell her friends, "I'm getting a beanbag chair." And mom was like, so when she opened it up, she got a stereo instead of a beanbag chair. And she's like, "Gotcha." And Gretchen was like, "Huh? What?" So anyway, good for them. So, okay, that was a gift. And with our gift, I tell you what, we have so many blessings that we're foretold from. We don't have to snoop it out. We just have to experience all that God has for us. He's foretold so much. So we're today, we've been looking at characters in the Christmas story, and we've been examining how the gift of Jesus also gave even more gifts, gifts of blessing. Last week, we talked about how this wonderful blessing came, and it meant so much to Joseph, and it gave him guidance. We saw the gift of guidance through having Christ in our lives. And today we're going to see another gift by someone who's kind of forgotten about in the Christmas story, but a really wonderful thing. After Jesus was born, they took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him, and they had an encounter. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had an encounter with two individuals. We're going to talk about the second one here today. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up to the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So here, just so we understand, this Anna, the prophetess, was there. She had this, difficult situation in her life. Culturally, we know that it was very common, for young women to get married, 14 to 15 years old. And, so we know she had 7 year marriage and then lost her husband. And now she's lived 80, she's 84. She spent an awful lot of time in her life. A couple things that we need to understand culturally. This was a tremendous tragedy to someone most likely in their 20s. Okay, let alone any time we lose, it's just devastating. But this is a young woman, and you know, Jesus talked so much about how we need to give care to widows and orphans. And there's a reason for that, because in the Jewish culture, they were often overlooked, a forgotten part of individuals. And the care for them, it was essential, especially if they didn't have children to care for them. And so the charge was given to Christians to look out for widows and orphans. And so we have to understand, in fact, the disciples, they write that, you know, the New Testament tells us that the religion that is pure and undefiled is to care for widows and orphans. And so we have this widow who's had this difficult situation, this tragedy in her life. And we can see some amazing things. I mean, Jewish culture at the time, she had a very uncertain future. It would appear, again, that she doesn't have children to give care to her. So here's my thought for today. Because of Jesus, we experience redemption. Redemption. Okay? What would seem like a tragedy. In fact, it was a tragedy, but there was also hope because of the appearance of Christ. Jesus shows up. And I mean, she waits a long time. She's locked into this position of waiting. And because Jesus, she was waiting, she saw Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And this so transforms that she goes and she's telling everyone about Christ, waiting for the redemption of Israel. I got to tell you this. When God is in the equation, it doesn't matter what's on the other side of the equation. If you have God in the equation, it totally changes. And here's why I say, in verse 36, it did not read, and there was a widow named Anna. It read, and there was a prophetess. And then they tagged on. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And look at verse 37. Listen to this. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things in present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what we see in Anna is this beautiful redemption, that it doesn't have to be defined by a very real tragedy, but rather God gave purpose. You know, your tragedy happens, and it's such a difficult thing in our lives when we experience. It's not a judgment of us being right or wrong, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But for a child of God, certainly we will, and at times we will experience hardships, heartaches, suffering, and trials. But it doesn't have to define us, because Christ is there with us. Jesus doesn't leave us in those times, but rather, he's there to offer redemption. Everybody say redemption. So a couple quick thoughts for us here today. Because, point number one, because of Christ's redemption, we're not defined by our hurt. That doesn't mean we ignore it. That doesn't mean it's not there. It doesn't mean we don't experience it. It is pain. It is pain. Think about this. Jesus' death for God the Father meant that he endured the loss of a son. We understand that Jesus, if this wasn't important to him, why in the Beatitudes he said, blessed are those who mourn. I mean, it doesn't feel blessed to mourn. It doesn't. When these things strike in our lives, They're very real. Very, very real. But the love of God and the redemption of God in the midst is very real as well. God is there with us. She is known as Anna, the prophetess. Your hurt, your very real hurt, it doesn't have to define you. In fact, Christ offers us purpose in the midst. Christ offers us an eternal redemption that overshadows our temporary affliction. And it's a very real thing. She could have become bitter. The Jewish culture, again, there was so many things that she would have had to endure. The majority of her life was not defined by tragedy, but it was literally overshadowed by the purpose of God for her. She found her identity in the God who formed her rather than the tragedy that afflicted her, which is a beautiful thing. Now, again, this is not ignoring it. Not ignoring it, but refusing to allow it to be the defining factor. As Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory that will be revealed to us." With this eternal focus comes eternal purpose. She was, you know, for a lot of us, we have to understand, I'm destined for more than heartache, because heartache is very real. Nobody say that this is no way minimizing that we go through difficult times. It's just recognizing this. We are purposed for more than heartache. And it's hard to say that when you've gone through that. I remember, you know, losing my parents at a young age. I remember having so much death around it. And I remember having to come to a time to say that I'm purposed for more than heartache. Heartache's very real. It is a very real thing. But I'm purposed for more than that. We have seasons, and those seasons are difficult, and God is with us. I am here for more than heartache. God has a purpose in my life. Can we all just say that? I am here for more than heartache. God has a purpose for my life. Let's all say that. I am here for more than heartache. God has purpose for my life. Verse 37 kind of leads us to something that's a beautiful thing for her. It says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Anna, the prophetess, she's having this awesome transformation. She began to seek this purpose in serving the Lord her God. Jesus kind of lets us know, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what, gang? All these things will be added unto you. Christ doesn't leave us in those hard times. He doesn't leave us in those difficult times, but rather he is there for us to walk with us, to embrace us and to carry us. So Christ's redemption draws us from pain to purpose. It doesn't mean that we don't have pain. We do. It means he doesn't leave us in pain. He brings us in from pain to purpose. As we see in Lamentations 3, 19 through 24. And I tell you, this verse has been so profound in my life. And I have loved this verse, but it's, let's just kind of listen to this and just let this work into your spirit. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. Okay, this is rough stuff. Okay, the prophet is writing here, lamenting about the condition of feeling like God has forsaken us. I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. Oh, that's a hard place to be. Y'all walk through this. You know what I'm talking about. It's a hard place to be. He says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have what? I have hope. I have to be very, very honest with you. There are times I don't want to hope. There are times I haven't wanted to hope. And that's the war. But when we recall to mind the goodness of God, here's what he recalls to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Verse 24, can we all read verse 24 together? The Lord is my portion, says my soul, Therefore, I will hope in him. This is the soul part. This is, you have to literally get your mind focused on Christ there. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope. She worshiped day and night. And I'm sure that this had to have been a very difficult process. Because it's hard. Because you know what I do? I get stuck. I get stuck when I experience hard things. I'm probably a poor example of how to get, and I hope no one, but it happens to a lot of, it's so easy when we go through these events, we feel like we're stuck when really God is with us there. It happens. They try to hijack my focus. They demand my full attention. And in a way, I have found that those times try to get me to worship them. They try to become the defining force in my life. And yet God offers a redemption. He redeems us. We are not left forsaken. Anna, therefore, is a lesson that in the midst of heartache, we can have hope. We like to say, I will always be the victim. I will always feel the sting. And there may be a degree of that, but God is still there with us. God offers us a calling into him in the midst of hurt. And it will always, it may always be a part of our story, but it doesn't have to be the end. And again, holidays are the hard time. Holidays have always been a very, very difficult time. There are more instances of depression around holidays because sometimes holidays, especially when we've experienced a loss, they can be a reminder of things that we once had that we no longer do. It's a difficult thing. But that's why I always pray at funerals that God would change our sorrow into thanksgiving for the times and blessings that we've had because of the hope of God, which is eternal. Our hope is not temporary. We have an eternal hope in Christ. The beauty of the redemption of Christ is this is not the end. And that's why the gift of God to us is so transformational. It reminds us of eternity. It reminds us that our momentary affliction isn't worthy to be compared with the glory that Christ is going to reveal to us. God is near. Anna is a lesson in redemption because she got a focus from God in the midst of this difficult, difficult season. And it continued to sustain her all the way through her life, 84, being known as a prophetess. So let's go on to Luke chapter 2, verse 37 through 38. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up, now look at this, coming up when? That very hour. Okay, so the writer here, Luke, he's very specific about the detail. It wasn't random. And it was like, look, that very hour, she was on a divine collision course. She was absolutely, I remember years ago, I was driving, taking Eli to a basketball game, and we were coming home in Mount Sterling, and I saw this deer on the other side of the field. And he started running towards the car. So I sped up and he turned. And I slowed down and he turned again. And I was like, this. So I tried everything I could to adjust my trajectory. But you know what? We went bam. I tried not to swerve or anything. Was like, look, there's this dude. I was at the right place at the right time. It was like, why? This is crazy. You know, did a bunch of damage to the side of our car. I mean, it was like he was trying to take us out. It was a weird thing. Deer are just weird. Some of us, I have to understand that we can be on a collision course with God through the Holy Spirit. This is what happened with Anna. That very hour. And because of her collision course there with God, she gave thanks to God and to speak to him, of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. So my final thought for us today is this: dedication and discipline help us to be at the right place at the right time. I want to be at the right place at the right time. Anybody else? Again, go back to Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. All right, gang? When we develop a life of dedication and discipline to the Lord, as Anna did, she was right on time at the right place to have an encounter with the Son of God. Woo! I'd like that. And here's how we get coming up that very hour. Church family, I'd like you to know that consistent worship, consistent prayer, consistent fasting, and looking for the redemption. I got a question for you. What are you looking for? For what are you looking in your life? Are you looking for Christ? Or are we looking in all kinds of other places? Whatever it is that we need. She gave thanks to those looking for redemption. Probably someone say, hey, speed the sermon up. Okay. She was looking for redemption. And I think that's important for us. Are you looking for redemption because Christ is a redeemer? Let me say that again. Are you looking for redemption? If you are, Christ is a redeemer. So let me say, I'm going to ask the question and I just want you to answer this. Christ is the Redeemer. Okay, that's your answer. I'm going to ask you, ready? Are you looking for redemption? One more time. Are you looking for redemption? Yes, he is. Anna lived in expectation. And now, here's the good stuff. You ready? God promised that Jesus was going to come. Did Jesus come? Jesus promised he's coming again. Is he coming again? I'm sorry, church. He promised he was coming again. Is he coming again?
Yes.
Are we living in expectation? You're right, Lindsay. We are. We are living in expectation and we need to. Christ wants to make an appearance in our lives. Remember the counsel to the wise and the foolish virgins, that they were to trim their lamps, that they were to be ready, they were to have oil in. They were prepared, and you had some who are wise and some who are foolish. And in our world, in our culture today, we have some wise and we have many, many, many foolish. Live your life looking for redemption because it is in Christ. And so with that, we take the message of redemption just like Anna did. We take the assurity of God fulfilling his promise, and we take that message to all who are looking for redemption as well. There are people around you who are looking for redemption, but they're looking in the wrong place. And you've been charged, like Anna, to go and to bring the message of redemption to those. The message of Jesus and God's faithfulness. She gave thanks and took that message around. Will we? I pray that we will. If you're looking for redemption, Christ is a redeemer. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that in your mercy and your great love, as we go through life, as we experience blessings, as we experience hardships, as we experience joy, as we experience suffering, and all these things, we don't experience them alone, for you are with us. As we talked last week about the 23rd Psalm, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but will not fear because you're with us. So, Father, I pray that we could learn the lesson from Anna, that we experience very real hardships. And even in the midst of these things, God, that we do go through, that we do feel, that Lord, you allow a definition that comes from your throne of grace to define us, that's greater than the events of life that we experience. We carry them with us. We continually do. But we continue to experience your purpose. Grant to us, Father, the ability, Lord, to learn and to emulate like Anna, to have our eyes so set on the promise to be revealed that we're going to be at the right place at the right time. As we journey through this Advent season, I do pray, God, that you would cause us to take a look inside at our consistency in prayer, our consistency in worship, in fasting, in thanksgiving. I pray, Father, that we would develop to a greater degree these disciplines so that, Father, we're going to be on that collision course with your grace and your purpose, that others around who are seeking redemption will experience that what they're looking for is found in you. We worship you today, and we love you, and we pray this all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. All God's children said, amen. God bless you, church family. God is good.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.